This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we'll begin reading with verse 13. When Jesus heard about John's death, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, looked up to heaven. He blessed them, broke the loaves apart, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers, about 5,000 men, plus women and children, and eaten. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've been thinking recently about purpose or meaning of our lives. Have you found your life's motto, your song, anything that can tell your story? If you haven't come up with anything yet, why not get a little help from your friends? What would others say your life has been all about? What stories would they choose to tell about you? That probably depends on who's telling the story, right? Some stories stand out to one person, and other stories stand out to other people. Wouldn't it be interesting to know which is the one story people would remember and tell about you? Today's scripture reading is that one story about Jesus and what he did in the Gospels that the Gospel writers all felt they had to tell. Of all the many wonders and signs that the disciples had seen Jesus do, the one that seems to have stuck in everybody's mind was the time Jesus fed a multitude of people with just a couple of fish and a little bit of bread. What was it about that story that gave it the distinction of being the only story that is recorded by all 4 gospel writers? Was this perhaps the first time product placement was woven into the narrative of a story to capture the attention of the hearers? You're listening to a story, okay, and all of a sudden there's a commercial message about free food. Was this story a marketing tool by the gospel writers to get the attention of their audience? The algorithms and market research probably suggested that their target group was hungry and would probably respond favorably to a story that included a message about free food. Maybe the story stood out as the most memorable one because being hungry is relatable. We've all been hungry to one degree or another. Maybe we merely had to work through lunch or the sermon went too long. Maybe there was no lunch. Maybe we sure could have used another serving of mashed potatoes and gravy for supper. Maybe there was no supper. Maybe the grocery store was out of eggs. Remember those days? Maybe there were no grocery stores. But to some extent, we have all known what it is to feel hungry. The disciples were probably hungry themselves, following an itinerant rabbi around the Judean hillside from village to village didn't exactly afford easy access to an employee break room, much less cafeteria. The disciples had been known to eat a handful of grain straight from the stalks as they passed through fields. They had swallowed their pride and dignity, get something to eat even sitting with sinners. Oh, on occasion they had feasted on home-cooked meals at the table of Mary and Martha. But in this lonely and isolated place, pickings were slim. This was a story that they remembered because in this one, they were numbered with the multitudes who were hungry. Of all the times sat at the table, he and his disciples along with him, had always been the guests at the mercy of their hosts. This story might have been memorable because in this one, things are different. Here the disciples found themselves to be the hosts, obligated by Hebrew law to accommodate the needs of any and all who came their way. This is also something that makes the story both relatable and memorable. We know what it's like to be approached by those who are hungry. Their cries continue to echo in our day. Multitudes who are hungry. What are they to do? What are we supposed to do? Where is bread to be found for so many who are hungry? Well, we know what happens next. We've read the story before, many times before. Let's pause right here today and let the story read us. Listen to what Jesus says. When the only thing the disciples seemed to have to bring to the table was a suggestion to send hungry people away to find bread somewhere else. Jesus says, "You feed them." How could the gospel writers fail to tell that story? How could they forget when Jesus told them to feed the hungry who had come to them? How indeed? What does this passage have to say about us? How are we inclined to respond to the suffering of others in the community? How do we care about the needs of others? Are we supposed to be responsible for them? Bailey Pickens addressed this question and others like it in a recent Christian Century article. We care. Of course we care. But responsibility is not reducible to care. This is important, easy to miss. Many of us care very much about other people, even and especially the vulnerable and the suffering who are especially dear to God. But the notion that we bear real responsibility for others, that their suffering can meaningfully affect our guilt, runs counter to our culture's emphasis on individuality and responsibility. Whenever we are inclined to stop at caring about the needs of others, Jesus still calls us to responsibility in and for community. Jesus is still calling us into the story to share with others the abundance of wonders that shall be made available. Martha Tegener, writing in After the Unveiling, has this to say, reminding us that the God of Christianity, revealed in Trinitarian relationship, known to us through relational acts of breaking bread together, loved and served by us only insofar as we love and serve the bonds of relationship between us, has made it abundantly clear that we are here on this planet as beings who are inextricably bound to one another if we try to live. As if we can choose to override these bonds of relationship, then we should expect life to go awry. Jesus said better and in a clearer way, something that would be unforgettable to the disciples. Something that makes this story that we would never forget. A story that every gospel writer had to tell. I think there's something in this story that transformed the whole understanding of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Something that made this story so important that it had to be told. What was it about feeding the 5,000 that left such an impression on the disciples? Might our hunger be fed by the same message? The thing that seems to be different in this story is the extent to which the disciples participate in this story. More than any of the other stories of Jesus' wonders and signs, the disciples were personally engaged. Granted, in John's story, an account of this miracle, Jesus is seen distributing the food. But here in Matthew, the picture seems to be that the disciples themselves were moving through the crowds, distributing baskets of food to hungry people. Then they are assigned cleanup duty, and each one given their personal doggy bag of leftovers. In this story, they are not spectators of a miracle. They are the participants. It's one thing to see a miracle from the front row seat. It's a whole other thing when at the end of the day, your hands smell like fish. Maybe, just maybe, this added to the level of engagement that was enough to change the lives of the disciples. Maybe this was the day they experienced the joy of working with Jesus instead of just watching him work. It has been said, give a man a fish and you feed him today, but teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. But I say to you, give a man a fish and he becomes a follower. But send out a man to share the fish he has, becomes a true disciple. Maybe all of the stories that will be told, the wonders of Jesus, this is the one that all four gospel writers must tell, because in this story, the disciples did more than watch. They participated. They remember this story because they remember the smell of fish on their hands. That might be the best explanation of why the story is told in each of the gospels. But another question is, why are we telling the story again today? I mean, it is among the most well-known stories in the Gospels. How does it benefit us to hear it again? What does it have to teach us? The needs of people in our day remain so very great. Multitudes hunger, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Evening is falling. And we find ourselves in more and more of an isolated place. Our faith and this story with it offers the assurance that God's wonder knows no scarcity, that abundance and plenty await all who hunger and to meet the needs in our day. What will be our story? How will we be remembered when it is told? Will we be remembered merely as observers who saw the abundance of God bestowed? Will we be those whose hunger was satisfied? Oh, let the story that is remembered of us be that we always had the smell of fish on our hands.